So some may have come to church today, and you think that the pastor brings the message, right? I mean, a lot of times we think of that, and that the pastor brings the message. But I want to make sure that we realize that the message has already been spoken today. You're right? I mean, we have to think of the entire service as we gather together this morning. The entire service is the message. I just get to bring a different part of the message. And so I'm so thankful that the message has already been spoken this morning, because the pressure is off me. That the message has been what the Holy Spirit has been speaking throughout this whole day, this whole morning. And as we lift up, as we worship, as we gather, the message is there. The message has been delivered already. So I'm just going to share a teaching today. I'm going to share a teaching that I found really helpful as I was kind of doing some research and study. I found a great teaching. It's from 12 Stone. It's a church down in Georgia. They've got some really, really good teachings. And I just want to kind of put my spin on it and share it with you this morning, and kind of help us out in starting this little sermon series about how to raise home run kids. How to raise home run kids. And so we all know what a home run is, right? Let's just take a look at this, the baseball diamond behind me. And so you guys know what a home run is. It's one of those things where you hit the ball. I'm just telling you, I'm really dumbing this down for some. You hit the ball and it goes over the fence and you get a point. There it is. For those of you who don't know what a home run is. But if you've been living in a cave, you needed to hear that. But if you obviously, we know what a home run is you run from first base, second base, third base, and you finally make it home after hitting the ball over the fence. Now some, you know, some is called in the park home run, where you can actually hit the ball in a great location inside the fence, and if you're fast enough to round the bases and make all of the bases and land on home plate, that's in the park home run. So home run's a good thing. Home run's a good thing. I think it's appropriate for us to talk about that a little bit this time of year, as we think of baseball season, as we see this great time of year. It's being the home run is the goal, right? The home run to scoring points, to winning games. And so thinking about parenting, raising home run kids, we all want our children to hit home runs. Now, figuratively speaking. This is something that if you're a parent in here, I want you to listen up to this teaching this morning. If you're a grandparent, you can hear this as well. It applies to us. And in fact, if you're neither of those, you've at least have had parents before who have raised you. And so as we think of parenting this morning, we are so blessed in our church to have so many young families, so many little kids. I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, there's just so many kids. There's just not enough room for adults, and that's a good problem to have. And so thank you all for, I just love the way that, especially, you know, like people who are like 50 years and older, I think as you reach a little older in your life, children, especially little children that are a little bit rowdy and crazy, they can be a little bit distracting, right? And that's a good word. So if you're of the older generation, and little kids running around everywhere in church can be a little distracting, can be a little frustrating, in fact, and we understand that. But you know what? You as a church, all of you, in fact, I so appreciate your loving, welcoming, open arms to all of our little ones, because they are the future. And when we see this type of church that is fresh, that's alive, that we have four generations represented in our church, that's reason to celebrate, right? I mean, that's reason to celebrate, to see young families and young children and teenagers and of course, kids of all ages. And so I celebrate that today, that God has blessed us with some amazing kids, some amazing workers to help these children and learn about Jesus. But we want to talk about parenting today. And I want to kind of bring us through understanding some of the basics of what it means to raise home run kids, to make sure that we understand what it means to raise godly children. So as we think of this baseball diamond, we have the home plate. Number one is just kind of like to love God first. We've got to love God first. And then first base is to love yourself. We want to teach our kids to how to appreciate themselves and have a healthy, winning character with strong integrity. to live above and to be confident in their faith. And then second basis, learning how to love others, teaching our kids what it truly means to love other people, to be selfless. And then we're going to talk, and then we're going to move around third base and to understand and raise our kids to love what they do, to build something that's bigger than themselves in life. And so today, we're just going to talk about home plate. We're going to talk about loving God first, teaching our kids what it means to love God first, understanding that this is the foundation, this is the home base to raising spiritually alive kids who love God. That's the most important thing, is to raise spiritually alive kids who love God and have appreciation for Him. We're going to find ourselves in Deuteronomy chapter 6 today. Deuteronomy is an Old Testament passage. It's got some fantastic depth of wisdom. And so we'll have it on the screen here. And so I want to just, I want us to follow along and just grab a hold of some great wisdoms out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." I think sometimes Hobby Lobby has like taken this passage of scripture, right, and just like went crazy with it. If you've ever been to Hobby Lobby before, you just see that there's these little signs everywhere, you know, like gather here or love spoken here or blah, blah, blah. You get my point. I mean, every little saying about love, about family, about scripture that you could imagine is found at Hobby Lobby. They took this passage of scripture to heart. I want to talk to you today about being intentional with your kids, being intentional with your time. You know that we're not raising children. Did you realize that? If you're a parent here today, you're not raising children, you're raising adults. You ever think about it? I mean, kids, they're only here for such a short time. They're only children for such a short time. And the goal is not to raise good kids, because what would happen as they grow older, we'd still keep them in diapers, right? I mean, we're like, no, we still need kids here. Sippy cup for your 16-year-old, right? A pack and play as you take your 15-year-old to a friend's house. Well, don't forget the pack and play and all of his toys. See, we're not raising children. We're raising adults. And our goal is to raise godly adults, and understanding that we need to be intentional with the very short time that we have with our children. Being intentional, because we only get a short time. Ask any person who's raised kids, and now that they're out of the house, what is the one thing that they always say? It goes quick. It goes so fast. Cherish them now while you have them in the house. You see, we're not raising kids, we're just raising adults. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is just giving us a plethora of wisdom in raising our children. You see, and I won't really want to go into it because I don't want to get off too far in the woods here, but I want you to understand that during this time, the nation of Israel, they've had generations just kind of dying off, if you will. There's been such a drought. There's been such a dry period of holiness in their clan, if you will. They failed as leaders of their generation. They've taken and they've just kind of missed something in raising their kids and passing on stories of God, stories of scriptures and stories of old. You see, I want you to realize that as you, as parents, as your parents, as your grandparents has passed on godly spiritual values, some of you will look back and say, I've never had that. I've never had the generations of spiritual values given to me. In fact, my parents were first-generation Christians. I remember in my family, I remember I was probably 11, 12, 13 years old. And everything in my past was non-Christian living. It was just, I was not raised by a godly family before that time. Well, it was a time in our lives where God was speaking to my dad and really just challenging, and just he was just struggling with life until it was a really amazing time in our whole family's life that it seemed that we all found Jesus at the same time, each in our own individual way through the church, and we all found Jesus in that one time. And so it was, I never had that generational, passing of the torch, that my grandfather and his grandfather passed on the love and the attributes of Jesus. I never had that. And so in Israel, they were doing the same thing. It was kind of, they were missing out. They were missing passing that on through the generation. And so, of course, we see that Deuteronomy chapter 6, listen, Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And these commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on door frames of your houses and your gates. You see, we've got to be intentional. We've got to be intentional about our time with our kids. Intentional. It takes this intentional time to talk about God. Impress these truths in their lives about holy living and godly living. You see, interestingly enough, it's not necessarily the fact that we don't have enough time in life. I read this quote. It says, whatever gets little time develops very little. Whatever gets little time develops very little. The Bible says, impress these truths, as in it's the management of time. Whatever gets little time develops very little. You see, when we all have the same amount of time in life, we are all given the same currency of time. It's just a matter of what we do with that time. And so as parents, we need to be intentional about spending time with our kids and teaching them the Word of God, teaching them how to be holy and how to reverence Heavenly Father. And so we either direct our kids to Him or to neglect Him. We either spend time directing our children to God, or we show to neglect Him. You know that time is critical. It is. It's so very vital. God has given us one out of every seven days, to cease striving. If you think about it, we are striving constantly. We are constantly striving to be better, whatever you are, to do better at work. And He's given us one day a week, to cease striving and to look to Him for rest. And so as we think of that one day, we call it the Sabbath. We call it in that time in which we as Christians, we take the Sabbath and we actually come to church and we worship. And we spend time talking about God. We spend time teaching our kids. And so during that day, if anything, just during that day, impress upon your children to acknowledge God. You know, you say, well, I just don't have time. I don't have time for church. I don't have time to bring the kids to church. Well, we all have the same time. We just don't all have the same values. Right? I mean, think about it. We all have the same amount of time in life. It's just we don't all share the same values. And so when we value taking time to instruct our children, that's very vital. Your time choices are communicating what you value. So I remember taking our kids to church. Obviously, I'm a pastor, and so our kids would always be like normal kids, and they're like, oh, do we have to go today? Do we have to go to church? Do we have to go to youth group? I mean, come on, Dad. Do we have to go? Of course, what do we say? Yeah, you have to go. And some may look at me like, well, gee, I've decided that my parents always made me go to church, so I'm not going to make my kids go to church. I'm just going to let them decide for themselves, right? And some of the people are like, oh yeah, good idea, good parenting. I mean, if you took that idea of I'm not going to make my kids do what my parents made me do, think about the ramifications of all that. Now, I was thinking, like, let's just say that's a truth, right? And you use that parenting style, that I'm not going to make my kids do what my parents made me do. Well, let's think of what my parents made me do, and they made me go to school. They made me go to bed. My parents made me do homework. My parents made me eat my vegetables. My parents made me brush my teeth. My parents made me clean up. My parents said, do not steal. You get the point. And if I took that attitude of, I'm not going to do to my kids what my parents made me do, my kids would be a mess right now. And so would yours. You see, that attitude of, I'm not going to tell my kids to go to youth group, because I don't want to be like my mom and dad who made me go to youth group. Wow. If that applied in your household, I feel bad for your kids, because guess what? They would be sleeping in. They would be never allowed to go to school. Their teeth would be rotting out of their head. They'd be playing video games 24/7. The house would be an absolute mess. And you get the point. Just because you don't want to make them go to youth group or to church, give me a break. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so I'm thankful that my parents had made me go to youth group when I was younger. I'm thankful that my parents made me go to church. I'm thankful because it's and now don't get me wrong, someone would argue to say, well, does church save them? No, church doesn't save anybody. Does youth group save our children? No, it doesn't. But you see what? It's investing time. We're investing time into our children. And this is another way that we can impress these truths and impress, as the Bible says, impress them on your children and making sure that we're investing and being intentional with our time. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, fathers, don't exasperate your children, but raise them up or train them up in the instruction of the Lord. And so we think about that, I mean, what a truth there is to that. Training them up, spending intentional time. Secondly, today, I gotta go fast. Intentional talk, like intentional talking with your family. Making sure that you are intentional with talking about God in the home. I mean, there's got to be so many different times that my kids are just like, they totally see through me. They're like, oh, here comes a story or something about God. Or we're, you know, dad always has to shift it to the spiritual. Well, yeah, guilty, right? And so making sure that we're intentional about talking about things, just as the scripture says. Make sure that you talk about it in the home. You know, as the kids go to bed, you know, when they were younger, our kids, and I'm sure some of you do this too, as you tuck the kids in, it gets weird when they turn teenagers. They don't want that anymore. So you end up stopping that. But when the kids were younger, we always were sure to tuck them in, and Rachel or I would say a prayer with them, being sure that that was an intentional time together. I mean, there are so many different things that you could Google. There's so many great ideas out there of how to be intentional with your children and talk about the Lord. And some of you do a fantastic job with it, and you can be teaching this way, way better than I can. But there's an idea out there that simply just take your kids, and whether it's bedtime or whether it's around the dinner table, whether it's just after school in the car, just say, hey, let's talk about three good things that happened today, right? Three good things that happened today. Just shoot them out there. And then what your job is as parents is to shift that good stuff and turn it to God. Well, see how God works there? You see how God is moving in that person's life or in that scenario? You just talk about it. You just talk about it. And parents, it's weird, yeah. Sometimes it can be weird to talk about it with your teenagers or kind of bring those things up. But it's important to be intentional about talking about God. And then thirdly, today I want to talk about intentional truth. We need to be intentional about truth and what is right in our children's lives and in what is right with the world. Verse 5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength, and understand that there's truth there to be had, to be known, and that the world is teaching them a lie. The world is teaching them a lie. I remember when our kids were young, we'd be watching a Disney movie. We'd be watching, what is it called? Like Disney Earth or something. You know, like those shows, the nature shows or something. And the narrator being like, and the jumping gazelle is doing this and doing that. And then you see the lion come and eat the gazelle or whatever. Anyway, that's funny. But what they would say was, we had boys and they enjoyed that kind of thing. My daughter, and they were off doing their own thing. But what the narrator from Disney would say, and it took millions and millions of years to develop that gazelle, right? And just as fast as the gazelle pranced through the field as the lion decided to work its prey, and the narrator would say millions and millions of years took the gazelle to form. And I remember specifically, our kids got so sick of us saying it. Rachel or I would be like, oh, nope, millions of years, that's nothing, that's not right. Nope, that's just false. There's not a millions and millions of years old earth. It's only 5,000 to 6,000 years, and there's proof. And come on, parents, there's a truth, and then there's lies. And the world is going to believe the lies if we don't talk about it at home. And so be careful, be sure to identify truth and lies in your family, in your life, in the world. You see, there's truth and lies, and parents, we're supposed to define which one is which. We are supposed to define which one is which. And so be intentional about it. Be intentional when you're raising your kids about understanding what truth is and understanding what the lie is. And it's okay to talk about it. We don't want Disney shaping our families. We don't want Disney shaping our kids. And I'm just picking on Disney because that's just something that we have personally experienced, but there's plenty of other lies out there. I'm telling you, you can keep going and going. You get it? I mean, shake your heads. Yes, you understand what we're talking about. There's so many lies out there. I don't care if you're watching TV or if you're walking around the shopping center. There's lies, and we as parents, it's our job to be intentional about truth. And the truth is that simple, that God made you, as a beautiful child. And this is something you can share with your kids. God made you. Jesus loves you, and the Spirit guides you. God made you. You can just share this, that we just didn't poof into existence with a big bang, that God is the creator. Jesus loves you, and the Spirit guides you. And so together as families, as the church, we can figure out this partnership in raising godly kids and raising home run kids. We can understand that the church is here for you. But parents, you're in the lead. Like, the church is here for you. But parents, you are in the lead in this. This is something that you've got to realize. And we've got to be careful not to be understanding that oh, we'll just take them to church, throw them off, and let they'll fix my kids. like you're dry cleaning. Like, we'll just drop our dry cleaning off, and then the church will fix them, and then we'll get them back, and they're all good. No, parents, you're in the lead here. And so we're here to partner with you as a church. Our D-Kids program is here to partner with you in raising godly kids. So a couple questions as we close this morning. What do you want for your kids? I mean, I think we all want the same thing. We want to raise successful, healthy, great, great families, great children. But really, what do you want? Is number one, the most important thing is, as you read Deuteronomy chapter 6, teaching them about godliness and holiness. Ask the question for yourself, what are you doing well? What are you doing well? Let's celebrate that. Just celebrate it. What are you doing well with your kids? I mean, some of you are like, yeah, this is working. This is working for my kids. Celebrate that. That's good. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. And I ask you the question, what needs intentional change for you as a parent? Where's the intentional change that needs to take place? What is something that you need to work on? Let's work on it. You can make this happen with God's Spirit flowing within you. So, parents, parenting's tough. Parenting's tough. But I want to ask you the question today. I hope that you would be willing just to open your heart and say, Holy Spirit, I need help. I need help with these stinking kids. Sorry, you can say that to God. He understands. Sometimes my kids are stinking kids. Just open your heart today, would you? Open your heart to Holy Spirit and just ask, God, I need help. I need your help. So I'm good. I'm done. Some of you just need to go, Lord, help me. Please help me, help me, help me. And let's just take this moment. Let's just take this time. Just cry out to God for help. Just ask for his presence in your family.